Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. And we are on lesson number 18. If you need the outline for lesson 18, raise your hand. Lesson 18, the altar of martyrdom. Anyone need that? All right, looks like you got them all out. Praise the Lord for that. And we are on section 4 of our study covering Revelation chapter 6 through 11. We've entitled that The Awful Judgments of the Book, and particularly lesson number 18, The Altar of Martyrdom, covering Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And memory verse taken from 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8 because of it dealing with afflictions and suffering and trials. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." 2 Timothy 1:8. And again, 2 Timothy 1:8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." 2 Timothy 1:8. Thank you, Father, for the word of God, and thank you for the promises that are here. Thank you for this glimpse into the future. And certainly, Lord, it is wonderful to know that we're saved and wonderful to know that no matter what happens in our lives, that we're always safe. And I thank you for that wonderful truth. And it's just a precious promise. So please bless now this Sunday school time. Make it profitable to us. Speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on Roman numeral 1, the persecution of the saints, covering verse 9. And it says, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." And so last week we started on this. We talked about the testimony. We talked about previous to this in review, we talked about the four horsemen and death that was resulting, death resulting from the carnality of mankind and the absence of the influence on man of the Holy Spirit, and how the first part of the tribulation will be a dreadful time of man killing man and trying to survive because of the hunger, the pestilence, and all of that. Death will be all around. And obviously, in reference to death, then we come to this section and this verse, verse 9, the death of Christians, people who get saved during that time, people who trust Christ as their Savior. Again, we will be gone, or if it happens during our time, those who were saved previous will be gone. They'll be raptured and they'll be gone. But obviously, after that, many, many people will trust Christ and they'll be saved. And that was capital A under Roman numeral 1, and that is the saints are saved. They were people who identified with the Word of God. Their testimony was that they believed the Word of God, that they believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they were saved. They were saved just like we're saved. They are going to be saved just like we get saved. There is nobody saved any other way. All right, and we need to understand that. They weren't saved different in the Old Testament. They weren't saved different, won't be saved different during the tribulation. They have to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody can be saved any other way. Jesus said, "I am the way." There is no other way, and we need to understand that. These saints are saved. We spent a lot of time on that, and I just want you to, you know, get that and understand that thousands and thousands and thousands will be saved during the tribulation. And again, the message will go out. Two witnesses will preach the Word of God. And I believe it'll be covered by media. I believe it'll be covered on the internet. I believe it will be, or if whatever Al Gore might invent after the internet, I mean, I don't know. But we never saw the internet 20 years ago. At least I didn't know anything about it probably 10 years ago, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's going fast, isn't it? Everything's going so fast. But whatever it is, the gospel will go out and people will get saved. And a lot of times we think, well, why would anybody get saved during a time like that? Why wouldn't they get saved during a time like that? Death is going to be all around. Chaos is going to reign supreme. And that's when people are out of their comfort zone where they do get saved. And again, we pointed out and spent time on this and have several times, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12, those that refuse before the rapture of the church, before the tribulation begins, those that refuse, the Bible does teach that God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. And so I believe if somebody rejects Christ, there are people today saying, well, you know, if the rapture takes place, I'll get saved after that. No, you won't. And I don't believe you will, according to the scripture. Don't understand it all, but I just believe God has that under control. They will believe the lie of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will have a lie. You know he will have an explanation for all the Christians being gone. You know he'll have an explanation for, who knows, maybe in those days he'll say that he eliminated everybody so that everybody else could have all their food, so everybody else could have all their possessions, so they could use these buildings like this building for, you know, a good use now because these churches have been wasting it all these years. And I can just in my mind imagine the spin that will go forward during that time. But anyway, these saints are saved. Capital B, these saints were slain. These saints were slain. And very, very clearly, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. They were slain. Now, the word slain there is a very strong word that means death by violence. In other words, they didn't just die of a heart attack. They didn't just die of pneumonia. They didn't just die of even an accidental death of a car wreck or whatever. No, they were slain. It is death by violence. It is used as the result of persecution. They were purposely slain. They were sought out and slain. They were massacred. They were slaughtered. They were slain. Those words all go together very, very well. And it was a determined slaying of these saints. Revelation 12, verse 12, we get this idea again of Satan's thinking and process. Revelation 12, 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Don't ever misunderstand. The devil knows the Word of God. He has read the Bible. He knows. He knows his time is short. And certainly as these things start taking place, Satan is determined to kill Christians. Why would we be shocked at that? Anyway, look at Daniel 7:25. Some of the scriptures we've already looked at as we studied Daniel, and we've gone back to Daniel 7 a couple times here in our Revelation study because of the time. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words, talking about the Antichrist. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. To wear out the saints of the Most High. Again, Antichrist is determined. They're going after, and there will be a major emphasis on getting rid of these troublemakers. Again, you know, we sometimes talk to you about different legislation that is proposed and hate crime, and you say, that's not going to happen. Understand, those are all the beginnings of what is going to be during the tribulation. It's going to be, you have to understand, people look at us. There are people in the United States of America now, a huge section of people, that think we're troublemakers. You say, preacher, I mean, we're running buses. We have a shepherd's ministry. We had all these shepherds yesterday, and they came, and if they'd have just seen their smiles, if they'd have just seen the joy on their face, if they'd have just watched them open those presents, and boy, if they came on Friday night and they'd see some people whose lives have been delivered and from drugs and addiction, if they'd just see our prison ministry, then you don't understand. We are a threat. And whatever the media says, and whatever goes out on Twitter and Facebook and everything else, it people read that and they don't even know you. They don't know what went on yesterday. They don't know the truth that goes on because of our bus ministry and how many lives are rescued. They have no idea. It's like a snowball going down the hill, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where there are people that absolutely hate Christians. And in the tribulation, it'll be far, far worse. You say, how can somebody just come and kill a Christian? Because they hate the Christian. That's why, folks, be very careful about stuff you listen to, stuff you hear, stuff that you, because, you know, so much of that is just part of the propaganda of Satan to destroy God's people. And if God's people believe it against each other, well, what do you suppose some unregenerate heathen out there would believe? You know, when they know we're against abortion, well, the abortionists, they're gonna attack us like crazy. They know we're against homosexuality, well, the homosexuals are going to attack us like crazy. You know, I'm talking about their lobbies and everything. It's going to be like these people are dangerous people. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Many of our folks have guns. We're dangerous. But are we? Well, no. If they would come and listen to the message, they'd realize we're not. They're not going to hear our message. They hear about us. And that is, you know, the gossip machine of the world is, I mean, it is moving right along well. So we can imagine this sort of thing happening. Matthew 24:9, it talks about the same idea. Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And again, God's people, the persecution. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I know I'm jumping around, but I want to just give you an idea. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And again, we have this very, very clear teaching of Scripture that there will be a persecution of God's people that get saved, Christians. And by the way, these Christians will all be new Christians. These aren't old, seasoned, mature Christians. These are new Christians. These are people saved within a 7-year period. These are people that are going to have to grow very, very fast in their belief and take their stand. And they do take their stand according to Scripture. And they are slain. The Bible says here, back in verse 9, that they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. For the word of God and the testimony. The word of God, the written word of God, what God wrote, what God showed them, and their testimony that they believed what God said. They identified with that word of God. Now again, today, for us to say, well, bless God, I believe the Bible is the word of God. You know, I'm not paying a huge price for that today. I'm not, you know, we're not paying a huge price for that. But now watch me just a little bit here. That is not yet. Now, some of our kids maybe that go to the public schools or they're around unsaved people a lot, or maybe some of you, if you work among unsaved people, you say, I believe the Word of God, you know, it's the Word of God and I believe it and I trust it and everything. You you might be made fun of a little bit. You might be mocked a little bit. You might pay somewhat of a price for that. But now watch this next step over. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. See, now it's like, are you kidding me? And you call yourself intelligent? You got to be kidding me. I mean, what is wrong with you people? And so, again, you know, I'm not calling that tribulation. It's not. It's not. I'm just saying, believing the Word of God, identifying with the Word of God, it has a price. In the tribulation, the price is your life. To say, I believe God. It says, for the Word of God and testimony, their testimony. Their testimony that we believe the Word of God. And, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I have absolutely no problem talking to someone, for example, who's a homosexual and telling them how to be saved. To me, they're no different than anybody else who needs to be saved. Amen? And that's how it should be. But they look at me different. What, do you believe that Bible? Yeah, yeah. And it's like, wait a minute here. You know, then you're against me. No, I'm against your lifestyle because the Bible's against your lifestyle. But it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with this book. You know, somebody starts living a life against the Word of God, be it homosexuality, be it living together, be it drugs, be it alcohol, whatever it might be. All of a sudden, when the preacher comes to visit, it's like, we don't want you here. Why? Well, it has nothing to do with my breath. It could, I guess. But what's it have to do? Well, it has to do with this book right here. This book, it's light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Why would they outlaw the Bible from our public schools? It's a book. Huh? Well, here's what they say. Well, it calls people sinners. It says people are inferior. It says, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. And what's it do? It draws a line. You know, it just makes it clear. Okay, this is right, this is wrong. And men don't want that line drawn. Men don't want to be told they're wrong. And so men love darkness rather than light. And again, try to imagine that day when, again, who knows when that day is. I think it's going to be soon. But I don't know that, and there's no way I could. It could be hundreds of years from now. But I'm just saying, if word spreads today so fast, an error becomes believed so much, you know, how much worse will it be during the tribulation? How much more will, you know, someone get saved and all of a sudden they're painted as this person who's against the Antichrist and against his cause and against unity of the world and you know, world peace and all. And I mean, you have to understand, the hatred is going to be unbelievable. Understand, men do not hate the world's idea of a God. That doesn't bother men at all. Mankind has no problem at all with a world view of religion. No problem. That's why during the tribulation, the Antichrist will have a crony called the false prophet. Why is he called a prophet? Well, he's a false prophet, but why? Because he will represent religion during the tribulation. He will represent a worldwide religion. You say, well, how could they have... Because, folks, we have to understand that all religion doesn't preach the book. In fact, the truth of the matter is, in our day and age, most religion does not preach the Word of God. Most religion is far, far, far from the Word of God. It has its own set of writings or whatever, typically a social kind of a gospel. And so... Men have no problem with people having a God. Men have a problem with our God. Today, the issue is not praying in public. The issue today is praying in Jesus' name in public. We have no problem. You can talk to your God. That's just, you cannot use the name Jesus. Why? I preached on it on a Wednesday night, talking about division. What? Because Jesus divides. Because he draws a line. Because he said, I am the way. Because he said, there is no other. Because he said, all roads don't lead to heaven. There's one road. There's one way. And so the world doesn't like that. The world has no problem with a God. They hate the word of God. In Genesis 3:15, the first reference to enmity, hatred, enmity, enemies, you know, the coming of the Messiah, enmity, Jesus would be enmity. He would divide. There would be a division. There would be a battle between right and between wrong, and the lines would be drawn. And you know what? You can have any small g god you want. Put a little Mary out in your yard. Put a Saint Peter out in your yard. Build a little house around him. Put lights in it. Do anything you want to do. We don't care. You can put Santa Claus in his sleigh and put that up on your roof. You can have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. You can put them all on your roof. That's fine. No big deal. No, Frosty the Snowman, of course. No problem. Frosty, have 20 Frosties out there. We don't care. But don't put that little baby in a manger, because that's offensive. Again, why is that so? What Jesus said, that's how it would be. And again, you know people that are upset over those things today and scream and holler and yell. Imagine during the tribulation. Again, I'm just trying to give you an idea of the persecution that's going to take place. It is going to be unbelievable toward Christians during this time. Romans 8, verse 7. It's a scary thought, but I'm going to give you something scarier here maybe today. Let's see what time it is. Oh. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, it can't possibly get along with God. Now we're told, come out from among them and be ye separate. I see Christians all the time wanting to hold hands with the world. And yet God says clearly, you will have to change if they will hold your hand. Are y'all with me here today? Listen, you are the one that's going to have to, you're going to have to become like them if they're going to want you. Because if you're going to shine your light in their face, it's not going to happen. They're going to hate you, period. Again, Bible says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh, you know, the flesh, the world, it has no possibility of pleasing God, and therefore those who are carnal, those who are fleshly, they are offended at anything to do with Jesus Christ. Anything at all. Jesus offends, the truth offends, and there, you know, the testimony of the Christian during the tribulation is this: we believe what you hate. We embrace what you hate, and they will die for that very thing. They will die vicious, vicious deaths. Again, these saints were slain. Let me get into a couple other things. John 15, verse 18, Jesus explains it. John chapter 15, and here's where it comes down really to how it may apply to you and I. John 15:18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Now see, I every time I read this passage, I always stop and think of the Christians that say, well, you know, we want to be accepted by the world. Then you have to change. You're not going to, listen, Christian, you are not going to be accepted by the cosmos world. You cannot be. Cosmos is the world against God. Okay, you cannot be accepted by them as a godly, walk with God Christian. Not possible. You're not going to be accepted by the world. Okay, the only way you could be accepted by the world as a Christian is to compromise and put out your light. Because as long as you are a shining light, the world is going to absolutely despise you. Hey, if it loves you but hates Jesus, what's that tell you about you? I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to be very proud to have those who are friends of mine who hate Jesus Christ. Now again, I've got acquaintances that are unsaved, and I want to get them saved, but I am not going to embrace them at the expense of identifying with a hater of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. By the way, that word hate is exactly what it means. Wishes you were dead. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, Jesus is saying, if I had not presented the Word of God, the Word that says, thou shalt not, they wouldn't have known they were sinners. They could just hide. Nobody would know. And so everybody could just do their own thing and nobody would be able to say, well, that's wrong. We wouldn't even know lying is wrong. We wouldn't know stealing is wrong. We wouldn't know killing, murder is wrong, would we? No. But because God said in his word, these things are right, these things are wrong, now they know. And if you represent that, you're saying that I'm wrong. You're saying I'm a sinner. Yeah. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Jesus said that. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now that hatred boils over and will become slaughter for millions of Christians during the tribulation. And there will be, it will be unbelievable. You say, wow, I mean, that's going to be so different. Actually, it's not different. It's going to be different for some Christians. Well, really, it'll be a worldwide slaughter. Understand, since the early church, okay, New Testament early church, since the early church, there's been an estimated, are you ready for this? 72 million martyrs for the cause of Christ. Try to think, 72 million Christians. That's an estimate. Now, you say, well, put that in terms we can kind of, all right, since 1900, 67% of that total have been martyred. That's just since 1900. That's in the last 112 years. 67%. What's that total? 48 million Christians. You say, well, I figured it'd be worse the farther back you go. No, it's getting worse. Now, I know, in America, we don't see that. We're not being slaughtered for the cause of Christ. You know, every now and then somebody makes fun of us, and then we just don't carry our Bible to work anymore. Now, I'm talking about Christian people in Africa dying. Christians in India dying. China dying. I'm talking about Christians, people just like you and me, dying. Since 1900, 48 million have died. Now, watch this. From mid-2008 to the middle of 2009, statistics were taken. 176,000 Christians died. Slaughtered. They didn't die from heart attacks. They didn't die from car wrecks. They died because they were Christians. I realize there, nobody's coming in here and breaking in and blowing up our building or anything like that, but it is happening. Now listen, that little statistic, mid-2008 to mid-2009, that is an average of 482 Christians per day. That's one Christian every 3 minutes massacred. And those numbers are going up and up and up and up and up. Now I know, you know, it'd be easy for us to say, oh well, that's not here. And praise God, it's not here. Amen. And I know, you know, we have the, well, bless God, you let them come after me. I got my guns, and your guns will last till you have till your ammunition runs out. Understand. The tribulation time is going to be worse than, by the way, during the tribulation, who's to say anybody will have guns? Right? Ushers, we need you to come. I say, who's to say during the tribulation that anyone will have guns? Those may be taken away long, long, long before, right? Well, it's our right. you know, if you wanna look at history of other countries, it would be an interesting thing for you to study countries who where their people used to have guns and now they don't, and just kind of watch some of the things that are being proposed in America. And again, praise the Lord, we don't see any of this ourselves. But who's to say we won't? And that's my whole point. You know, we have this idea, and I don't ever want Christians to get this idea, oh, that's never going to happen to us. You don't know that. Well, no, the rapture's going to take place. You don't know that you're going to go during the rapture. You don't know when the rapture's going to take place. Why do we get the idea that because we're Americans, we're going to be raptured out, and so these Russian Christians that have died, they're every bit as much a Christian as you and I are. And they died in persecution. Who's to say the United States of America is always going to be free? Who's to say that we aren't going to suffer persecution before the rapture ever takes place? See, we don't know that, do we? We have no clue, no idea. And you know, most of it, you know, we with gray hair, you know, maybe we can't imagine it happening in our day. Okay, but are we leaving children behind? And grandchildren? And great-grandchildren? I'm just saying, you know, God's people are going to go through a terrible, terrible time of tribulation during the tribulation. But God's people are going through it today. God's people. If you don't pray for Christians around the world, how sad. That should be a part of everybody's prayer list. You know, Christians around the world. There are people, somebody just died, a Christian. Yeah, I know they went to heaven. I understand. And we could all say, well, at least they're going to heaven, praise the Lord. When it's your time to die, you'll be very offended when somebody says, well, at least they're going to... I mean, it's a blessing. It's our hope, and praise the Lord. I've been with many that have gone to heaven, been with them when they went to heaven. And they say, you know, I see the angels, and I say, oh, there's Fred. You know, I remember Fred, and I'm looking, really? I don't see Fred. But and it's a wonderful thing, but dying of persecution, man. You know, you ever have somebody hate you, and you don't know why? And there's nothing you can do about it? And you're a nice person, and they kill you? Yeah, it's just, it's tough. 2008, 2009, one Christian every 3 minutes. I'm going to say now the stats are probably maybe closer to one every 2 minutes. Dying, heads cut off, suffering, beaten, bloodied, children made to watch or parents made to watch children killed. It's happening all over the world. How can people hate so much? Because they hate Jesus. That's how.